back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Holocult. You know what that means. We're here to hang out with you, or you're here to hang out with us, however you want to work it. But we're glad that you chose to include us in your work week this fine week. Today, I got a good old cryptid encounter. I'm going to be coming at you. It's not too old. It's within a few years, but it should be pretty interesting. So we'll get into that once we get through all the business. Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Come be part of the community. Join the Hollow Cult. Wow, Hollow Cult. It's just a fun thing to do. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our Thursday show, Kyle's got the deets.
I do, and it's really, really easy. All you have to do is write your story out, shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com, and then we will put it in our expert filing system and turn it into an episode. And I mean, what else is there to be said?
It is very state-of-the-art filing system.
Yeah, and then you're going to be hollow famous.
You will be hollow famous. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. First, we have a Patreon. You can go over there, and for just a mere $7 a month, less than a value meal at your favorite fast food establishment, you can get almost 50 extra Patreon exclusive episodes. You get early drops for our regular episodes, ad-free episodes, exclusive casket breath drops. What else we got? Coupons to our store over there. All kinds of good stuff. Speaking of the store, go to hollowskypodcast.com. Click on the store tab. We got some merch over there, some goodies, shirts, stickers, hats, all kinds of good stuff. We got some more things getting ready to drop before too long. We've been experimenting with a little bit of stuff, so get hyped on that. The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Always put Hollow Sky out there. If you hear people talking about weird stuff or talking about podcasts, keep throwing our name in the hat. Again, I'm getting some new QR code stickers printed up. Wanted to shout all the Hollow Cult out that came out after just one episode drop. You guys came out in abundance, and we burnt through any QR stickers that I had left over. I probably sent out 30 QR packets, and there's still people waiting on them. So bear with me. I'm going to get some new ones printed, and we'll keep that boots on the ground street team rolling. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when I find them, I'll shout you out. So this week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend. It's Los Pugo, but somebody we also know. Always bangers, 5-star. Steve and Kyle never disappoint. They both always come with new strangeness to grace us with. The way they deliver the paranormal and weirdness is great. It's like kicking it with the homies. Keep it weird and rad. Metal sign emoji, UFO emoji, ghost emoji from Yeti Ranger.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, Yeti. If anybody fucks with the Discord, Yeti's over there quite a bit. He's one of the homies, one of the OGs.
That's what's up.
So we appreciate the kind words, my friend. You can also support us by supporting our sponsors. If there's anything in our ads that you guys are interested in, definitely hit it up, because the more kind of traffic we push their way, the more interest sponsors will take notice to us, and that's how we keep the show rolling.
Keep the good old lights on. The other day, I actually tried going through every single one of our reviews. Just find a specific review. And unfortunately, unless I'm blind, which is a high possibility, I think this person made a second review, which cancels out their first review. But I was literally trying to find, I was like, you know what? Good idea. I want to find the original Dubstep Sucks 1-star review. And I was just going to screenshot it, turn it into a sticker, because usually I'll do small little stickers and I will get a bunch of them printed. So when anybody buys merch from the Hollow Store, I'll slide a couple of these free stickers in there. And that was the one that I was going to start sliding into people's purchases.
I may have saved it to my phone.
I hope so.
I'll look for it.
Because that would be pretty sweet to just get the original thing turned into a sticker and put it out there. I think it would be awesome.
Dubstep sucks. Yeah, it's here somewhere. Anyway, show starting about 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
Hey, man, that's like on par.
We're shaving the time off.
That seems to be our new time mark. So yeah. Just expect about 6 minutes and that's when the show starts.
Yeah.
If you want to get mad about it, you can get mad about it. It's okay. Yeah, we still love you.
We'll make a sticker about your one-star review.
Yeah, we still love you.
So today, I dove into a cryptid encounter. One that I heard about, but I didn't really look into a whole lot. So this was kind of interesting. And that is the Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds appropriate right out of the gate. You know, Lizard Man, Swamp.
I got a live action photo of the Lizard Man that I'm going to show Kyle further in the show to get his on his actual on time reaction to the photo of this monster.
So define live action. Is that like cosplay?
That's way more accurate than you wanted to be right now.
Awesome.
All right. So, this Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp, or also known as the Lizard Man of Lee County, is an entity that was seen around this swamp known as Scape or in Lee County, South Carolina. Scape or Swamp is about 150 square miles of blackwater swamp. This creature was first seen in the late 1980s when it kind of first broke the media. There were some accounts of Native American lore of large lizards kind of in the general vicinity, sort of in South Carolina and Georgia, but I don't know if they're connected, so I kind of left it out. It blew up in the late 80s. The first sighting was during the fall of 1987. A 20-year-old by the name of George Holloman Jr. was riding his bike home from work. His route just so happened to take him by Scape or Swamp. During his route home, he decided to stop and take a smoke break. Just kind of enjoy the fall evening and, you know, just take a smoke. As he sat there looking around the swamp, he noticed this odd-looking tree stump about 30 yards from him. He's smoking, looking at the stump. Something about it just kept not sitting right with him. Just couldn't take his eyes off of it. If he did, he would always just come back to it like something was wrong about whatever he was looking at. After about 30 seconds, the stump began to move. And then it stood straight up. As George's eyes began to focus, he realized he was looking at some sort of humanoid figure standing over 7 feet tall. What he could see from the dark was a humanoid shape, head, shoulders, but it also had a very distinct tail. At this point, a car rounded the bend on the road and the headlights illuminated the creature. George could see this thing had dark green scales for skin, a very lizard-like face, and glowing red eyes. As the light passed by the creature, it seemed to spook it because it immediately took off into the thick of the swamp, running on two legs, into the trees, into the swampland below. This would just be the start of a crazy, probably year full of sightings of whatever this thing is. The following summer, June 29th, 1988, 17-year-old Bishopville teen Chris Davis was on his way home after a shift ended at a local McDonald's. It was about a 10-mile drive he'd made hundreds of times before, but tonight would be very, very different. On his way home, he blew a tire out on his 1975 Toyota Celica.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, ripping. In the Browntown area of the county, very close to the edge of Skateboard Swamp. As Chris got out of his car, he had just finished changing his flat and he opened his trunk and was getting ready to put his jack back in when all of a sudden he heard a sound. He said it sounded like something was running. And he had looked out across this field that was separating him from the swamp. And that's when he saw this shadowy shape start to take form, about 7 feet tall. Whatever it was sprinting directly at him. Later on, when he was interviewed, he would describe this creature standing about 7 feet tall with green scaly skin, red eyes, and 3 toes on each foot. Chris said, "I looked back and I saw something running across the field from me. It was about 25 yards away. I saw red eyes glowing. I ran into my car. As I shut and locked the door, the thing grabbed for my door handle. I could see him from the neck down. Where he grabbed, he had 3 big fingers and long black fingernails. Rough green skin. Whatever it was strong and angry. I sped away as fast as I could. I looked into my rearview mirror and I saw a blur of green running behind me. I was going almost 40 miles an hour. And then it jumped onto the roof of my car. I tried to swerve back and forth to shake the creature off. I didn't know what else to do. I thought I was being attacked by the devil itself. Davis escaped the attack unharmed, but his car didn't fare so well. When he got home, he saw that his side mirror was completely destroyed, along with numerous deep scratches along the roof and his hood, as well as a massive dent on the hood. He immediately told his father what had happened, but it's not clear as to whether his dad believed him right off the rip. It's kind of expected that
he didn't.
Yeah. He probably thought, hey, my 17-year-old kid was driving like an asshole, probably messed the car up, and he's blaming it on, I don't know if I would have came up with a lizard man excuse if that was me in those shoes.
It reminds me, like, the overall description just, it makes me instantly think of I can't think of his name, but it's the bad guy from Ninja Turtles who's an alligator, and he wears like an Australian hat. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? That's exactly who it makes me think of. Also, maybe Lizard Dude was just trying to jack that sweet Celica.
Could be.
I mean, why not, right?
I mean, if he can run 40 miles an hour, I mean, a Celica's probably not going to do much more than
that. That's what I was thinking. he's pretty much topped out.
Yeah, he don't even need the car at this point.
No. He just wanted to be big pimping in the Celica, dude.
But it is, I mean,
overall, I mean, so far, both the descriptions are almost dead on with each other.
Yeah. That would be terrifying to be out there in the middle of the night, especially being a young kid and hearing that noise of something running across the field and look up and see, I mean, something that you are clearly not expecting to see.
No.
And especially like with the tail and all that shit, it's just crazy.
It would scare the shit out of me. You'd almost think Jurassic Park shit.
Yeah.
This is a velociraptor running right at me.
Because you'd think, I mean, being 7 feet tall, he's got to have little meat on his bones there.
I bet he's fast as fuck, too. I
mean, lizard bones. Davis did end up coming forward with the encounter because not long after, more accounts of other cars being attacked landed in the paper in similar fashions in the following months in the local news. After then, they came forward and the attack was reported to Sheriff Liston's Truesdale. Now, I heard two different accounts here. I heard one that Truesdale was friends with Davis and his father. So that they kind of had a little bridge of trust built that he didn't question the kid. But I also saw reports that Davis took a polygraph test and passed. It may be both. You know, it may have boiled down to, hey, even if you do have some inkling to not believe me, I'll take this polygraph test. And Davis initially passed it, right? This prompted everyone to kind of start taking the incidents more seriously. After Davis came forward, 2 locals also came forward saying that they were chased by the creature from a local creek that they were fishing in that led into the swamp. On the morning of July 14th, 1988, barely 2 weeks since Davis's encounter, Bishopville residents Tom and Mary Way contacted Sheriff Truesdale to come to their home to report some overnight vandalism. When the officers got there, they were greeted by the Ways, who began to show them their car, a 1985 Ford LTD. While they had slept the night before, someone or something had come along and viciously ripped the chrome fender from their car, broke off the hood ornament, dented the hood, left deep scratches along the sides, bent the antenna, and even tore out some wires from inside the motor. The police immediately noticed that the fender and other parts of the car looked as if it had been chewed on by something, or it had been ripped away by something using just its mouth. The Ways had also noticed several muddy footprints near the car, as well as clumps of red hair near their home. Upon questioning the people of Bishopville, Sheriff Truesdale discovered that the residents had been seeing something very similar to what Davis reported. Now, as far as the red fur goes, I'm not sure if it was tested, but the police figured that the red fur was probably fox fur, which kind of coincides with the creature having scales and not fur.
Yeah. That's one of the first things I had was, where the fuck did the red hair come from? You know, did everybody overlook the fact that this thing's got a flaming red mullet?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's going on with that? Also, what do you think changed? Because in the first encounter, the thing ran away from the cars, right? Like, as the car was making its approach,
yeah,
it took off. And in all these other reports, it has since said, fuck that, I'm going to rip these cars to pieces.
Yeah, been excessively aggressive.
Yeah, what changed?
I don't know.
Also, very weird, I mean, lack of description, but it's weird that in this last one, that, you know, they described the bumper being ripped off, the hood being dented, so on and so forth. And then they brought up how wires were torn from the inside of the motor. Just a weird description. Like, did it stick its hand up underneath the car? Did it rip the hood open? What happened there?
There's a theory that was kind of floating around that maybe, essentially, the fox had been up in the motor.
Yeah, gotcha.
And whatever it was trying to get to that.
That makes sense, that the fox took refuge in, you know, underneath the car, jumped up in the motor. That makes sense.
Yeah, this thing was trying to get to it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The police also said that the muddy footprints, particularly at the Ways, could have been bear footprints. And that is going to change here shortly, but those were kind of written off as a bear, which it's almost like they're trying their best to steer away from the whole lizard man accounts, right?
Well, yeah, because that's woo-woo shit.
Yeah. Instead, you got foxes and bears eating cars, because that makes more sense than a lizard man.
Yeah, I mean, a bear is kind of unpredictable and will do crazy-ass shit, especially if it's chasing food up into the car. But yeah. But
they can be dickheads.
Yeah, I could. I mean, I think those things should be expected in accounts like this of local law enforcement trying to explain those away, because it's not shit you hear every day.
Yeah.
You know, and it by all classification, it's woo woo. These people are crazy. There's no such thing as 7 foot tall lizard dudes running around the woods. It's just not reality, at least in their minds, anyways.
Yeah. I agree. But as they're interviewing the other people of Bishopville, they start to get more accounts of what's going on. Truesdale says, "We learned that the people of Bishopville had been seeing a creature that was over 7 feet tall with glowing red eyes. Some of them described it as being green, some of them being brown, but they believed it could be responsible for what happened to the Way's car." That summer, more and more people came forward with reports of damage to their cars or run-ins with the creature. By the end of the summer, 12 more witnesses in total reported incidents to the police that were tied to whatever this entity was living in the swamp. People reported being chased by the creature. Other report being stalked by the creature until being seen, and then it would swim off into the swamp like an alligator, which that is a creepy mental picture.
It is.
Of this human, like human gator hybrid swimming off into the swamp.
And it is strange how so many car reports took hold in the time frame. Because if you were going to blame the original, one of the original stories here on a bear, what the fuck is going on with the bears eating everybody's car?
That's what I said.
What's got it so pissed off? You know, is it some crazy delusional rabid bear just got a bone to pick with cars, or?
Yeah. And why aren't the bears of South Carolina still eating cars now?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause at a certain point, even for law enforcement, I can imagine if I was a cop taking all these reports, eventually I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, right. Why is everybody's car have claw marks and teeth marks all over it? Yeah. What the hell is happening?
Why are, cause the towns are small, right? The towns that we're talking about here, Bishopville has less than 3,000 people in it. And I forget what the other one was, Brownsville or something like that. That's not even an incorporated town. It's like 240 people in it, smaller than Fielden here, you know?
And I mean, unless it's a town deeply rooted with its own lore, also imagine that. Imagine your hometown lighting up, like hearing that Teresa down the street saw a lizard dude and it ate her car. And then everybody else is like, well, if Teresa saw a lizard dude, I'm going to see a lizard dude too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like unless it's lore where people will naturally freak themselves out because it is such a strong lore in the towns. But if that is removed from the equation, all right, here's another red flag that we gotta admit, because why are all these people coming forward with this story? Like what the fuck is going on?
Yep. And as far as I can tell, there weren't any lizard man sightings prior to 1988. Like I said, outside of those ones from like the early 1800s, 1700s, this just started happening in 88. And another note, while Skateboar Swamp is not super huge, as far as swamps go, 150 square miles is still pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
But most of the accounts all happened within a 3-mile radius.
Well, that's even weirder.
It's almost like it's its home base here or some shit.
That is weird.
On July 24th, 1988, four teens on a double date reported seeing a massive bipedal creature with a tail run across the road in front of them while they were driving near the swamp. While law enforcement tried to remain skeptical, most people of the community that they deemed, or let me start over here. While law enforcement remained skeptical, people of the community that they deemed trustworthy were among the people coming forward with sightings. So it was getting harder and harder for them to keep writing it off as a bear when like pastors and stuff are coming forward and being like, hey, we also saw the lizard man. At first, they kept pushing that the creature responsible for the damage was most likely a bear, especially after tracks at the Way's house seemed likely to be a bear's. But this all changed once they started finding tracks in the area of the attacks. These tracks were 14 inches long and 7 inches wide, with a distinct three-toe pattern and a 40-inch stride in a bipedal walking motion. So these are pretty good size footprints, and they have three toes.
Yeah, that's not a bear. That's not anywhere near a human.
I don't even know. Well, I mean, most lizards don't even have, like, a chameleon might have three toes, but I think that's the only lizard that I know of.
A chicken lizard.
Oh, if it is a chicken man, that changes everything.
No, because Raising Cane's going to be in business for a long time.
They cast a bunch of these tracks and took them to local biologists who deemed the tracks unidentifiable. a man by the name of Johnny Evans, a spokesman at the time for the South Carolina Marine Resources Department, said that the tracks did not match any of those of any animal that had been previously reported, and that they could not be mistaken for any other animal, as well as any known animal that could have some sort of mutation. They were just that out of pocket.
How did it estimate how big the footprints were?
They were 14 inches long.
That's big.
7 inches wide, and they had a 40-inch stride.
40-inch stride, that's what, a little over 3 feet?
Yeah, about 3.5.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that would accurately put it at a 7 foot tall. It could.
I wonder if there were tracks of like the tail being drugged too, you know, like,
yeah. And I'd like to see if there was any photographic evidence of said footprints, and more particular, honestly, the damage to the vehicles.
They have,
because there's
casts.
That's a fucked up looking foot.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like anything that I've seen.
No. You can almost
looks like an old petroglyph.
Yeah.
Like it has a weird crudeness to it. You know what I mean?
Like it almost looks fake.
It does. It has a bizarre crudeness to it. And it, which would mean that footprint, because if for people listening, like imagine the heel is a circle, and then there's a gap between the heel and the ball of the foot, and the ball of the foot is like an almost identical circle. Then it's got three appendages that come off the front, but that would mean that its foot has this like arch to it.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing in between the heel and the ball. It's very strange. Weird. Very weird.
It's strange. It gets a lot weirder once I show you the picture that was taken.
Oh, but the real quick, but I'd like to see the damage of the vehicles, because I've heard of ironically similar dogman accounts where the dogman attacks the vehicle. And when you think dogman attacks vehicle, you expect carnage.
Yeah.
And then you see the photographs and it's got like a fucking scratch. One scratch. And the fender's screwed up, and you're like, well, a dog in a shopping cart could do that.
Yeah. Let me check it.
So that's why it would just be interesting to see how bad the damage was, because especially as law enforcement, you know, you're going around looking at these things.
This is more recent one.
That is weird. It's weird. I don't know how I feel about it though.
Good. I mean, if you look at the damage, if you Google this, you're going to get a more recent encounter, which I'll talk about later on, but it looks like a Dodge minivan, and it looks a lot like, I don't know. I feel like a big dog could do it, right?
I'm with you there.
Sort of.
I don't know how hard it would be or not for a dog to do it. I'm sure it can be done. I don't know.
You would think that you would hear that though if you were at home.
Yeah. Well, I almost feel like it's so, I don't know. I hate to say it. I almost feel like even the minivan picture is fake.
It's
because it's so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that doesn't make any sense, especially in contrary to what I just said. But if you're looking at the picture me and Steve are looking at, like, there's the cross member on the grill, and it has all these like uniform scratches in the center of this bar. Like, it's really bizarre because it's right on the front face. There's no claw marks or scratches that overextend that front face of the bar, which if it's something gnawing uncontrollably. Yeah. There should be, or gnawing or clawing. Cause see what I mean right here? How it's all focused right here on this front face. Like, there's not overarching. There's not very much anyways. Yeah, it's very weird.
Kind of the same.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
That's
and maybe, and I'm not a fucking
a pretty good
Yeah, I'm not a canine expert.
It doesn't look like it would be teeth marks.
It really it does. It's
dragging down like
yeah. Because that would mean it's bite. Imagine how long that bite is.
Yeah.
To get up there and then come down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird. It's weird, but you can Google and Google Lizard Man of Skateboard Swamp vehicle damage, and you can see the one from the accounts that are closer to our time period here. Back to it. After receiving several reports of odd howls and screeches, two officers went out to investigate. What they discovered was another set of three-toed tracks identical to the ones that they had found at the last attack site. These tracks led over 900 feet into the swamp, so they followed it for quite a long ways. They also found...
Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focused and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO.
Three discarded 40-gallon steel drums that were completely torn to shreds and tossed out across the road, as well as multiple trees in the swamp that had been topped out at the 8-foot mark, like something had just snapped them off, which you kind of hear in Bigfoot lore.
Yeah.
Also. So this was kind of the end of the first round as the 1990s kind of hit the whole... Well, before that, I should say, the whole world kind of caught Lizard Man fever for a while. Media descended on Bishopville, and there was a whole bunch of shit going on. Sheriff Truesdale said the Lizard Man had become a national celebrity, quote, put Lee County on the map. He said he had newspapers and television stations from all over the country and the world essentially coming to Bishopville and Browntown to see and interview people who had seen the skateboard swamp monster. A radio station in Columbia, South Carolina, offered a $1 million reward for a capture of the Lizard Man. Oddly enough, it was never claimed. The sheriff's office stayed busy trying to answer hundreds of calls about the creature, countries as far away as Japan and New Zealand. So it made it there for a while. It was everywhere.
It was worldwide news.
Yep, it was big news. But like I said, as the 80s died down and the 90s came in, so did reports of the Lizard Man. Until 2005. October 2005, a woman in Newberry, South Carolina, reported that she had seen not one, but two of these Lizard Men creatures outside of her home. She'd heard a ruckus in her backyard when she went out to her porch to see what was going on. Through her screen door, she saw two of these 7-foot lizard-like creatures tearing the roof off of her small chicken coop and began to devour her chickens. She said that the creature closest to her took a chicken and shoved it into its mouth and then grabbed another one in its hand and carried it away into the woods in her backyard.
That's awesome.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I'm just going to shove this in my mouth like a fat kid eating cupcakes. And that one didn't count. I'm going to grab this one. I'm going to take off.
Mm-hmm. This is a Raising Cane's commercial altogether.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the mentality of the lizard man there. Because I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But
who doesn't like a good chicken strip?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting visual, to say the least.
I'm just like, it's such a bizarre, not necessarily a one-off creature, because there are reports of swamp creatures and there are reports of reptilians, yeah, and all sorts of stuff in that vein. But I'm trying to like put myself in their shoes, and I can't imagine looking out in my backyard and seeing something just tearing apart my chicken coop and just handfuling them into its mouth as it's taken off.
It would be extremely terrifying to see something of that. I feel like, and on top of that, as far as coming forward, I would rather come forward with Bigfoot than Lizard Man.
Yeah, Lizard Man is out there.
It's definitely out there, and that's why I would never come out with it. I'd be like, fuck that.
Yep.
I would probably tell you, but and that's assuming like we don't have the podcast, so on and so forth. I probably wouldn't say a word about it, because nobody's going to fucking believe it at all.
It's funny that you say that, because it comes up here shortly. In 2008, the old lizard man is back up to its old tricks. A Bishopville couple named Bob and Vicky Rawson discovered that their car had been badly damaged overnight, much like the attacks from the 80s. So I'm assuming this is the Dodge that we looked at. They also noticed that a few of their outside pet cats had went missing. As they were examining their damaged car, they saw patches of blood all over their car too, near the damaged areas. The blood was tested and it turned out to be that of a canine. So their immediate thoughts were that a dog had done this to the van.
I mean, that would be what it suggests.
But as the police were investigating, they found the mutilated carcass of a coyote in a field next to their home, along with a mutilated carcass of a cow. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, it could be a dog did this to the van, or whatever did it to the van had just got done devouring this coyote and left the coyote blood on.
And then went and decided to chew on a car.
It wasn't finished yet.
I'm going to floss my teeth with a Dodge minivan.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Here is where you guys are gonna wanna really sit down. Soak this in. In August of 2015, the most infamous photo of the lizard man, which Kyle needs to post on Instagram.
I have not seen this photo.
Would you? I feel like you probably have.
I might have, but because as far as I know right now, I haven't seen it.
You're going to see it, and it's going to be wonderful. A woman by the name of Sarah Barra, first off, Sarah Barra.
Sounds like fake.
Snapped a photo of the creature as she stepped outside from her church service one Sunday morning.
Sarah Barra, do not disappoint me.
Here we go. This is Kyle's live reaction to the Sarah Barra lizard man photograph.
I'm excited. I am excited. What the fuck?
Tell the Hollow Cult what you're seeing here, Kyle.
It is literally I don't even know how to fucking describe this. Like it looks like a lame Godzilla costume made of Play-Doh. And it's fucking hands. It looks like it's got arthritis so bad. It just doesn't know what to fucking do. Its tail is not even remotely consistent with a reptile tail at all. And then it's got these massive clodhopper feet. Picture them fucking house slippers you get for kids that are just big and puffy.
100%.
And that's what it looks like. It really does. This is Sarah Barra. You're a fucking liar.
Look at its gigantic muscles.
I know. Like, it looks like Play-Doh muscles.
It's fucking jacked. And the thing's
got a fucking stride to it. Like, it's just got a stride like, I'm the man.
I feel like if you...
The tail, it fucking gets me because it just looks like a turd coming out of the thing. Because a reptile's tail would start real thick and then kind of narrow down. This thing just looks like a rope hanging off its lower back.
It doesn't look like its hands can do anything.
No, not at all.
And it's the fact.
Fucking roid rage.
I feel reptilian. Like if you took one of the 1960s Godzilla enemies.
Yes.
And then you crossed it horribly with like a Power Ranger enemy. And yeah. And then you got a concept of that. And then you had me and Kyle make the suit out of things we found in a dumpster.
Yep.
That's what you would get.
That's probably the most fair description possible of this.
It's impressive. Photograph. I love the fact that someone took the time to make this suit. A. B. Took the time to give it gigantic muscles.
Yeah.
And C, I don't know what the fuck they're doing with the hands and the feet.
I look at it and I instantly see a shitty Godzilla movie.
I feel like they made the hands and the feet the way I would draw a lizard man's hands and feet.
Yeah.
100%.
Fucking absolutely. Not to mention.
They did get the eyes right, though.
The eyes are right.
They weren't red.
The eyes are right. But let's notice a couple other things here. The front foot that we see, not even remotely close to the castings that were taken.
No.
And then if you notice the fucker's back foot, it looks like it doesn't even have a foot.
No, it's just kind of bunched up there. Yeah. The tail looks like a pool noodle.
Yes.
Spray painted gray. It's solid. It's solid. We will share this on the socials because it's
Sarah Barra. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's coming from church of all
That's
places.
What I was going to say, you came right out of church and fucking lied right through your teeth.
Yep. And I wrote in here.
She was sitting in confession. All right. I'm about to do some really bad things. Okay.
Yeah. She pre-confessed.
Yeah. I'm just going to repent now for what I'm about to do.
And it, yeah.
I know. You know what else is funny? I love how in the realm of paranormal, I love how there are idiots out there that think something like this is going to be their meal ticket.
Yeah.
That they think they are ultra convinced. I can win the lottery. By fake a lizard man sighting.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It didn't. Yeah.
What are you doing? That's not even remotely close to how life works. Sorry.
I wrote down here in my episode, it looks like if me and Kyle decided to try to make a lizard man costume.
It's dead. Yeah.
It's
100%.
Looks like it's made of rubber or plastic. It has huge bulging muscles, giant feet and hands, and fake red eyes. It's the worst cryptid photo I've ever seen.
100%.
And the fact that all it did was diminish any sightings or encounters that may hold weight.
Yep. In the eyes of the general public and media, instant hoax. The whole thing.
You can go and watch news reports from 2015 when this broke. And the reports I watched, the broadcasters can't even keep a straight face.
Oh, sure.
They're trying to hold it together. Like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah, if I was sitting in that newsroom and they were like, you were like, Kyle, there has been a large outbreak of lizard man sightings. And they have got pictures of it. At first I would be like, oh shit, this is really about to happen. And then you pull that picture up, I'm gonna go, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's what I'd seen it before, probably around 2015 when it made its first rounds, and it was just so horrible that I blocked it out from my mind. And then once I came across it again, I'm like, this is money.
It's a solid pick, man.
It's important. It's an important piece of the lore because it kind of brought the creature back into light on like a media level because it kind of made its rounds again. But it also helped people kind of come forward with their encounters. An anonymous man released a video footage of what he believes is the creature that he had taken in May earlier that year. He said, I saw a lizard man story on the news, and it's given me the courage to release my video footage that I had taken in early May. Though my wife believes it's real, she'd be embarrassed if everyone thought I was a loon, so I just kept it to myself. Exactly what you had said earlier.
Right.
Well, the video, you can watch it. It's 24 seconds long. It doesn't get close enough to show any real physical details, but you can see a tall, dark creature in the swamp darting in and out of the trees in this 24-second video, which is way better than whatever the fuck was in that picture.
Yeah.
Shortly after that video was released in late June, early July of 2015, a local man by the name of Bob Tilly had what would be one of the most harrowing encounters with the creature. This is fucking wild. He and his partner, William Spencer, had spent the day in the swamp hunting alligator. They didn't do so hot, so when they got back to their truck, they were loading up their equipment and their one kill into Tilly's truck. When all of a sudden they heard a screech from the tree line of the swamp. It was like nothing they'd ever heard before. By the time Tilly had turned around to see what was making the screech, the creature was already on him. It took Tilly's forearm in its jaws and immediately pulled him to the ground, started tearing at his torso with claws. Luckily, Spencer kind of had his wits about him, pulled the .357 Magnum from a bucket they had in the back of the truck. He fired a warning shot into the air. This didn't do anything to deter the creature. It just looked up at Spencer with Tilly's arm still in its mouth and just made eye contact with it. Like you're gonna do this or not?
And why even give it the chance? I'm sorry, if a lizard man is biting your arm in front of me, and I have...
Take that shot, Kyle.
I will 100% take that shot.
Take the shot. At this point, it begins to drag Tilly into the swamp.
Oh, shit. That's scary.
Spencer then fired a second shot directly over the creature's head, which startled it enough that it released Tilly. Spencer claimed that the creature hissed, much like an alligator would do to warn off danger. Then it stood up on 2 feet and ran back into the swamp. Spencer helped Tilly into the truck, who was severely injured at this time, and rushed him to a local hospital, where he was treated for deep lacerations and puncture wounds to his right arm, shoulder, and his back. Local police took this very seriously and immediately began to investigate where the attack had took place. They spent 2 days searching the area but found nothing other than the same three-toed footprints that they had found in the early 80s, and again, trees that had been topped out over 7 feet high. Of course, people were quick to jump to the conclusion that these two alligator hunters were probably out drinking some skateboard moonshine, and they'd kind of got too handsy with some of their prey, and it was just an alligator attack. Hospital reports from that day confirmed that Tilly had zero alcohol in his system.
Oh, shit.
Tilly cannot remember what took place after the immediate clamp on the arm. He just remembers waking back up in the hospital.
You think that was from stress?
Probably.
Yeah.
So the report, you only have one person's account of that day, and that was Spencer's. So,
unless homie chloroformed his buddy and then was trying to feed him to alligators for certain, for whatever reason.
Yeah. And then decided, then had a change of heart.
Yeah. And then was like, no, I can't do this to my, he's my buddy.
But that would be the last, pretty much the last big sighting of the creature. It being such a cultural icon, they've decided to start capitalizing on it. And according to the Wikipedia, in 2019, they started a Friends of the Lizard Man committee that was formed. And just as they were kind of getting it going, the lockdown hit and everything was put on hold. But the group got together again to try to preserve the legend. They started a Lizard Man Monster Festival, which they call the Lizard Man Stomp, that is still going on today. You can see in downtown Bishopville, which has a parade, and they have speakers and all kinds of cool stuff. Food trucks, live bands, just a whole thing. I feel like it's a lot like the Van Meter Visitor Festival. It'd be cool to check that out one day. Local businesses kind of capitalized on it as well. There's a local concrete casting place that makes a Lizard Man that sells out super fast during that weekend. There's a Lizard Man lounge on Facebook. You can go and hang out. It's a whole thing. It's a crazy one-off cryptid encounter. And I don't know what to think about it, man.
I don't either. These ones always make me wonder because, like, I'll be honest. I'm going to ask it straight the fuck up. Do you think mass hysteria is real? Do you think that's a reality? And really think about that. Put yourself in those shoes. I don't think it is, personally.
I don't feel like it is in accounts like this. In accounts of cryptids and the paranormal.
Yeah.
I feel like in real world things, hysteria can grab a hold of people pretty quick. Like we saw that with the lockdown and people going fucking crazy.
Yeah. But circumstances, definitely. Yeah.
Stuff like this, I don't think so. I fully believe that George, I call him a kid, but he was 20, the guy on the bike. He saw something that night.
Yeah.
Chris Davis clearly had something happen to him that evening, and he had evidence to prove it on his car. Now, I mean, could skeptics say, hey, he was a kid driving like an asshole on his way home, wrecked his car, made up this story about a lizard man that he'd heard kind of running around the town. You know, he heard it through the grapevine that people have been seeing it. What a better way to capitalize on not getting in trouble about your car. But the fact that you had multiple other people, a dozen other people witness this thing or have damage from this thing, they can't all be making shit up. You know,
I agree.
People have to be seeing something, whether it's a giant lizard. I don't know. I mean, there's so many different routes you can go. Like, could it be a reptilian? I mean, they pretty much line up with a lot of the features. Could it be an alien? You have the three-fingered hands and the three-fingered feet, which come a lot with a lot of alien abduction encounters.
It is very reptilian, but at the same time, in these particular set of stories, it makes me feel like it's more feral than what you typically hear of reptilians.
Yeah. The reptilians that we think of in the extraterrestrial sense seem to be,
they're ruthless, like
intelligent.
This. Yeah. But they do have an intelligence about them.
Yeah. This feels like feral was a good word. It feels like something that lived in this 3 mile radius.
Yeah.
That maybe people got too close to. Maybe hunters were driving it out and it just, you know, got to its breaking point. Maybe it was starving. I don't know.
And it, like, at first I kind of expected the story when you were first starting to tell it. I expected the majority of the accounts to happen within the year, and then it just dips off. Because you hear situations like that where a town or a region will have a mass influx of sightings of whatever creatures out there, and then for whatever reason it dips off. And my question was going to be, what causes those dip offs?
Yeah, that's a great question, because where was this thing prior to 1980 to June 1988?
Yeah,
and where did it go?
20 years or whatever it was. Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know. Could it be some kind of like ultra terrestrial that lives underground that only comes up sometimes?
That's what I was wondering, is if it is more of like a cave dweller, but it is amphibious. I mean, I know caves have water, but it makes you feel more amphibian than cave, just for whatever reason. I don't know.
It's so
I always wonder about the dip offs. Why things, and in like the storyteller in my mind wants to initially contemplate the thought of the story start to unfold, they start to cause a panic, and the government gets involved. You don't know that they're getting involved, but the government then gets involved and makes these things disappear.
Yeah.
Don't know if that is the case or not. I mean, that's a definite cool story plot twist. But there is no validity to that theory at all whatsoever.
And the way they tried to spin it is all these other animals damaging cars and stuff like that. It's a bear. It's a fox. It's a dog. You know, why isn't that still happening? Why did it only happen in 1988? If that were the case, if there wasn't no lizard man and it was just these animals doing this, why'd they stop?
Yeah. And so... A plausible reason why that could have stopped, and it depends on the history of the town. A lot of factors are going to come into play when I suggest this. Tourism. So instead of try to logically explain it, let's play into it and draw people to the town. And that could be, honestly, that could be the cause of the resurgence of sightings later on. Not saying that it is. Never want to discredit any of that shit, but it could be.
Because even Sheriff Truesdale said like it put Lee County on the map.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it if it did drive revenue, I could see that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Your mind could go so many different directions. Could it be some sort of alligator human hybrid? Could it be some sort of like,
I fucking hope,
dude, like some sort of CRISPR pre-CRISPR experiment gone wrong?
Yeah,
that either escaped or they just released into the swamp, hoping like, hey, it's 150 miles of nothing out here, we ain't got to worry about it,
right?
I just made it too close.
Also weird how it would kind of seem to markets territory by breaking those treetops.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, I mean, like I mentioned before, it's very Sasquatchy behavior. You see that in Squatch areas where they break them off way high up. I do want to shout out, while I didn't use this specific book as a source, but Lyle Blackburn went in and did a huge deep dive into this whole encounter from the 80s. It's called, he wrote a book about it. It's called Lizard Man, True Story of the Bishopville Lizard Man. Definitely check it out. But he went out and interviewed people of the town, people that saw it. Specifically, he interviewed Sheriff Truesdale. And I was listening to a podcast. He was on Astonishing Legends. He said that when he got there to interview Truesdale, he'd already been retired. That Truesdale took him into his house, and he's like, it was almost like something out of a movie. He said he took me to this old chest he had. And when he opened it up, he had two-foot-high stacks of police reports that he had collected specifically on the lizard man.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that almost, that adds validity to whatever Truesdale thought was going on. He thought it was important enough to not only make official reports but also keep them, because a lot of times you don't hear of very many reports of the paranormal and the supernatural being logged and kept and actually filed.
You have no idea how much I would love to have original newspaper clippings of events like that across the planet.
Oh, dude, it'd be
I'm not talking about fucking print offs. I'm talking legit newspaper cutouts, frame them, put them up. I think that would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it would be so
dude, so it would be, it's like, it would be like the equivalent of us collecting X-Men cards or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would just be so fucking cool.
It's funny that you brought that up, because for a Patreon episode, I did pull up a bunch of the newspaper reports, and I think I'm going to read them off and make a Patreon out of it.
Oh, that's cool. Patreon
people. But there was something else about Truesdale that I read that I thought was interesting. Oh, yeah. He had kept casts of the prints that he was going to send off to the FBI. But all I found was that he was talked out of it. I couldn't find out by who. But he ended up donating it to a local museum there in town. I thought it was interesting that they just said that he was dissuaded, is what they said. He was dissuaded to not send them to the FBI, which is strange, right?
It is strange. It makes you feel like he's dissuaded for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, I don't want the FBI to come get on to me.
Yep. Or someone didn't want the FBI looking into it.
Yeah, I feel like I have high suspicions of the casts. I don't know that I trust them fully. No,
if that's what they're seeing, that is so weird. But the fact that they steady said they were seeing the same three-toed tracks at a lot of the attack sites is even more bizarre.
Yeah, but I feel like my brain would go to like a real thick chicken foot.
Yeah, a lot of people said that. A lot of people said like a giant bird, like an emu track or something.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. Those casts do not make sense to me.
No, they look fake.
That's where I'm at. If I had to put money today, I would go with fake.
And there was, I didn't get into it because I already had a pretty long episode. There was a lot of fuckery going on surrounding the Lizard Man.
Yeah.
There was a guy that came out that said he was behind it. He just wanted to keep kids off of his property. And he had just put a burlap sack on his head and was chasing the kids around. Which
was he 7 foot tall?
Well. Yeah. Hey,
hopefully it was 5'2".
Yeah, and didn't have a tail. Didn't look like didn't bite someone's arm off like an alligator. There was also a man that came forward in the later incidents and said he had actually shot the creature when he saw it had scales from it. Scales turned out to be fish scales, and he said he just wanted to keep the legend alive. So that's why he made up his story.
So weird.
I mean, a lot of people are real loyal to their cryptids.
Yeah.
But again, check out Lyle's book, Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster. It's on Amazon. You can pick it up there. I haven't read it, and that's why I didn't use it as a source. But he's been on a lot of the big name podcast circuits talking about the Lizard Man. Definitely check it out. It's an interesting case, for sure. They were seeing something in the 80s. Something was tearing up their Celicas. I don't know what. But that'll be it for today. Again, I think I'm going to record some of these old newspaper articles for a Patreon, so all our Patreon members get to hear what was making the rounds in the media, be magically whisked back to 1988. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday, choosing us to spend some time with you. We appreciate it. Till we meet again, check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Discord, Reddit. Stay safe, stay weird, and I don't even know where to go with this. If you see a giant rubber-suited lizard man chewing on the hood of your car, just send us a picture of it and don't lie about it after you get out of church.